being Chaf Hey Adar, which is according to many sources Yom Brias HaOlam. I kid you not. You may recall that there's an issue of when was the world created? Was the world created in Nisan or in Tishrei? And according to the Gemara, the Tchil Olavim Achshava, the Baro, the Tishrei, will the Sof, the Ro of Nisan, which we explained in one of our earlier Shmuzim, in the Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create the world, Bereshit Baro Elokim, the Midas HaDin, and Tishrei symbolizes Din. Ro She'en Olam Eskayim, we simply cannot survive if HaKadosh Baruch Hu will treat us with strict justice. Shitev Imo Midas HaRachman, HaKadosh Baruch Hu combined the Midas HaRachman. It says later in the Pasuk, Hashem Elokim Eretz V'Shamayim. So fine. But we all know that Adam HaRishon was created on either Rosh Hashanah, in concept, if you will, B'Tchila, and perhaps in real life on the first day of Nisan. So the first day of the creation, by a little simple arithmetic, since both Elul and Adar are order of 29 days, so it's the Chaf Hei. Today is Chaf Hei. So today is very likely, in a sense, Hayom Haras Olam, in a certain sense. The beginning of creation may have been on Chaf Hei be Adar. So we, in miniature, are starting a new perek. Not creating a new world here, but a new perek, a new beginning. And given the size of the perek and the importance of the perek starts here on Af Kuf Aleph and ends on Kuf Vav. So it's shortly under a little less than six blat. And if you look at your academic calendar, see how much time is left until Pesach and how much time is left after Pesach. I'm not sure if we're going to, you know, get past this perek. I have to be a realist. But no matter, it's a very wonderful parak, it's important. I have to confess, it's not as important on a daily basis as the issues we've been discussing until now. But nonetheless, since Chalitza is something which is here to stay, we really should know what it's about and some of the halachas and the practical details as well as the lumdus behind Chalitza is very significant. So let's begin without further ado, the parak. Mitzvahs Chalitza. The Shlosha Dayanin Vafilu Shloshdon Had Yotos. Stop. Let's follow the answer in the Mishnah. Seems to me that one of the most important words in the entire Perek is the first word. Mitzvahs Chalitza. You don't find Mitzvahs Kiddushin, Mitzvahs Gerushin. These are the other two fundamental idea. Mitzvahs Yivam you do fine, right? Kodemas Mitzvahs Chalitza. But the fact that the Perek is entitled Mitzvahs Chalitza, the first two words of the Perek, is significant. And this leads to an immediate controversy, which is somewhere on Yomar Makomus, as to whether Chalitza is in fact a mitzvah. Or is it purely what we call in our language a matir? We all know, going back to the first day of the year, way back, when holding out in Chof Hei, Adar, I think we began our year, I think it was Shchodesh El or Erev Shchodesh El, a long, long time ago, when we were discussing these fundamental principles of Yibam and Chalitza, title of Masech Yevamos. But the question becomes, what is it all about? So we know, yes, there's a thing called Zika, a man dies, leaving no children, so lo siya esh namei sachut shel yizar, the woman, the almana, may not marry another man just like this, if her husband died with no children, Yavava Yavu Aleha, Yibam in theory is a preferred option. As we said many times, nowadays we no longer perform Yibam. It's written into the laws of the state of Israel. I believe it's probably the law in America too. It's probably an illegal incestuous relationship if someone would try to marry a sister-in-law, I think, in most states. Famously, Rabbi Avadia Yosef Shalita does not agree with this at all, and he has both written and spoken about this, how it's trampling upon Sephardic tradition, that Mitzvahs Yibam Kodemas Mitzvahs Chalitza, and he insists that Yibam should have priority. Has there been a Yibam after Rabbi Avadia's 60-something years of protesting the reality in the state of Israel? Has there been one since 1948 in the state of Israel? Probably not. Not even under the table, to my knowledge. If you find out somehow in some blog that it's happened, please let me know. So, okay, this does not prevent Rabbi Avadia from taking his principal stand. I call a kavod. because no one wants to go into jail. Aside from the fact that the, certainly the Ashkenazi traditions of mitzvahs chalitza kodemes, and that's practice. My Rebbe, Zichrono Levracha, taught us of a case where there was an actual Yibam in his early years in Europe, and the reason why they had to have a Yibam is because unfortunately the brother-in-law was incapable of performing chalitza. He was an amputee. Very sad case. Someone died, left no children, left their brother was an amputee. We shall see, an amputee is no possibility of chalitza. So they were matar yibum. Interesting case. I mean, as we know, for yibum it's enough to have hara, the sugi at the beginning of habo yivimto. So whatever the precise parameters of how it was done, I'm not going into right now, but my Rebbe told us of one particular case where, you know, if you ask me, as a Talmud of my Rebbe, and as someone has to have a responsibility, I think that psak is an inescapable psak, because the only other alternative is how it's creating what we call in our language aguna. You may know that I've spent some time trying to stop agunas and try to do whatever we can to help agunas. Here's an effect also an aguna. What you going to do? She has a brother-in-law. He can't. He'd love to do chalitza, just can't. So this is something which is a sobering thought. But that's the only story I heard about from my Rebbe, which happened by now, who knows, over 80 years ago. Has there been a Yibam since then in the world? I don't even know. I just don't know. Maybe the Sfarim did it in the pre-state years, or maybe even the post-state years when they're still living in the Arab lands. I don't know. If you find out for me, I'd be interested to know, you know, when the last Yibam took place on record. Okay, you're deputized. Find out. One bless you. So therefore, whenever these things happen, and they happen too often, unfortunately, you have to have chalitza. But is it a mitzvah or just a matir? Nafkamina. What happens if the woman says, "Listen, very nice. My husband wants to perform a mitzvah of chalitza. We'll see later. This mitzvah is presumably on the husband. Go through the process of chalitza. But I'm not interested." So why not? I have no intention to remarry. Too old. I have no intention to remarry. Now, let me tell you a personal story. Because a personal story is always the best way to remember things. Yeah, personal. After my father, Zichrono Levracha, was left as one of two surviving brothers of an uncle of mine who passed away with no children, I approached my aunt, who was a classical situation of a Yavama, and asked her if she wanted me to arrange with my father to have a process of chalitza. What was going through my mind? There is a last surviving sibling in my father's family whose religious commitment, not the same as the first five siblings who were very devout Orthodox Jews. Not going any further than that, unnecessary right now. My fear was that by the natural progression of anticipated actuarial results, this youngest uncle would be the last surviving sibling, which he is. After my father passed away, this goes back now almost 8 years, and my fear would be that one fine day my aunt would decide she wants to remarry. Who could predict the future? Age is no obstacle. You never know. People get married at all kinds of ages. And I wasn't completely assured that there'd be cooperation on the part of this surviving uncle to engage in a chalitza process. Well, sure, if my father would be, yes, of course he would. What kind of question? She said no. She just didn't want to think about it. And okay. So she didn't do it. And she's still not interested. Not only somebody of the past, she's now been a widow for almost a decade. And and apparently by now she's already old enough that, you know, it's even logical to assume she's not going to ever remarry. But I was concerned fundamentally with her well-being, because she would change her mind a few years down the road. But putting that aside for the minute, would it be a mitzvah in and of itself to go through a chalitza process, even in the absence of any anticipation of remarriage? That's the question. Yes?
I just want to make sure. So when you say mitzvah matir, meaning, like, I'm sure the Rambam, like, get, you're saying it would be like a matir.
Yes, when I say mitzvah, I don't mean one of the 613. Right. One of the 613 is geirishin. No one is going to say it's a mitzvah, you know, in a positive sense. You get more olam haba if you divorce. I want to go all the mitzvahs. Come on, I'm going to divorce my wife. We'll get married again tomorrow. Every day. You have easy two mitzvahs. Gerush and Kiddushin. Hey, can you imagine that? He'll have more than anybody else. No right-thinking individual, whatever, even to have what we call a havamir. Because the mitzvah of Gerush and Kiddushin, certainly of Gerushin, means that it's a mitzvah in the Torah to have this din. Doesn't mean to go do it. Kiddushin may be different. Kiddushin may be actually a positive. You do make a bracha on Kiddushin, although it's not clear what the nature of the bracha is. Is it a birchas ha-mitzvah or a birchas shevach ha-hodo? Right? I want to welcome back our newly married, very, very, very distinguished Ashir assistant, for whom I made a bracha last Sunday. It was his bracha. I made it for him. And I made it for him, assuming that it was a birchas ha-mitzvah. Right? For him, perhaps even for his distinguished wife, some Ashayla, the condition of mitzvah on the man, on the woman. And it comes up in certain halachic, we just spoke about it in previous years, when we learned these in Yonim. There can be situations of halacha lemaisa. What happens if one or both of the marrying individuals has no sense of hearing? Cannot hear? Can the rabbi make the bracha? If it's a bracha shevach v'hodo, the answer is yes. If it's a bracha, a bracha samitzvah, then it becomes a very serious question. A very, very serious question. If the rabbi is only making the bracha for the chassan can't hear, so then it's a serious question. What if the chassan can't hear but the kala can, or vice versa? You have a question, yourself.
I was just interested, so once we know that it's not a mitzvah, or everybody says mitzvah or matzah, so what does it really mean?
So I want to know, is an individual required to go through chalitza when that situation arises, that a man dies and leaves no children and has a brother, or is a man not required to go through the chalitza process, I mean the man and the woman, unless she wants to remarry? That's the question. Yes?
Is it sort of like having, even if it's not a mitzvah per se, it's sort of like having nine kosher meat around your house? Like it could be, let's say, you just somebody. So it's,
right, so that's what I was saying. On a practical level, it's certainly a good idea to go to a chalitza, because you never know what she's going to do, you know, what she doesn't want to do, etc. It's a good idea.
But even halakhically, then you're not supposed to have.
Okay, you're just saying there's a michshel out there waiting to happen. And my aunt, I'm sure, has not done anything wrong. And I'm not worried about that. I was worried, and frankly, had there been only one brother who was committed to Torah, it wouldn't bother me so much either. She changed her mind next year. She wants a chalitza. She gets chalitza. But what concerned me was that there were two brothers left. An older brother was my father, the Chmona Levracha, completely committed to Torah mitzvahs, and a much younger sibling was not. And my fear was, I articulated it, that there may come a time in a few years when she changed her mind. And then it would be a big problem. I'm, as you know by now, I'm a pragmatist. And I was talking on a very pragmatic level, and she rebuffed me. But now the discussion is about a more, either want to say on a more spiritual level, which we'll see soon, or more strictly, halakha, even at Mechshol, is there a mitzvah to do chalitza as a mitzvah to eat matzah? The whole thing is almost Pesach. It's a mitzvah to eat matzah. So we all have a mitzvah to eat matzah. Obviously, we're not all put into the situation of chalitza. As a matter of fact, the last line out of the Rav's Masada Chalitza's mouth, I brought me the Shulchan Aruch, you may have noticed in the Maram Makomos, I gave two sets of sources, the Shulchan Aruch proper, what they call the Seder Chalitza. There's more than one Seder Chalitza in different Shulchan Aruchs. But the Seder Chalitza, if he goes to all the various Sifim, he says as follows. He says, that we speak about at the end of the chalitza. We say certain things that we want that benosis. We hope that benos Yisrael will no longer have to worry about yibum chalitza. What that means is to say that we hope that whoever gets married will have natural children, and therefore there'll be no need for yibum and chalitza. That's what we traditionally say at the end of the chalitza process. But having said that, is the reality of life that chalitza, that zika exists, and how do you deal with it? Yes, I'm sorry.
So you can actually flip the question, then the nafkamina is gone, because let's say if you say is yibum a mitzvah, or yibum is a mitzvah, I'm assuming.
Yes.
So therefore, if that's a mitzvah, then not doing yibum or chalitza automatically becomes the problem of not
doing yibum. Correct. However, since yibum is not permitted in today's world, we will not allow it. No rabbanim will allow it. No person, I wanted only yibum. We won't allow it. So therefore, that's off the table. Your consideration is correct in a previous epoch. But today, the yibum is just that lobo
becheshman. Rabbanim can get rid of that you need to do a mitzvah? Meaning, like, there's still a mitzvah.
In a sense,
Jews,
yes.
You need to get rid of it.
No. The rabbanim did get rid of mitzvahs. I'll give you an example. You want to blow a shofar, a shofar, chal b'shabbos, right? Mitzvah d'oraisa, can't do it. Chazal took it away from you. They took it away. They simply took away mitzvah d'oraisa from you. They took it away. Lulav on Shabbos, etc. There is precedent for such a thing. In any event, they're both side. So what is the story? What exactly is the story with chalit? Is it a mitzvah or is it not a mitzvah? So one of the makoros that I asked you to see, and I imagine to get there yet, is a Beis Shmuel, not in the Siman Abad Chalitza, which will be our main focus going forward, Siman Kuf Samach Ches, and the subsequent Seder Chalitza, but a little bit earlier, in Siman Kuf Samach Hey. Kuf Samach Hey. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Siv Gimel, Yevama Shetvo'o Hayovam Lachlos. The man wants to chalitza. V'hi eina rotza el yishar aguna. You know what's going on? The word aguna, the A word. She wants to remain what they call over here aguna. That's an unusual phrase. She wants to remain an aguna. In all of mind, that's a contradiction. If you want to remain, you're not really an aguna. I mean, the answer is like the word aguna has such a dramatic overtones today, that's nebuch, nebuch, nebuch. No, aguna literally means anchored. She wants to remain anchored. And I could see she loves her husband so much. She wants to be a shrine to his memory for as long as she lives. I can see it. There are people like that. That's right. They won't consider remarriage. They're 40 years old. Young women, they have 80 years ahead of them. Nope, I'm loyal to my... And I'll even tell you, I'm only telling you between us, but don't ever think about this in a practical sense. There are even certain sources, which I can show you in the start of the Shulchan Aruch, that advocate that position. That a woman, her loyalty to her husband, should prevent her from remarriage. Notwithstanding Pesukim of Rosh and Chumash, but you notice somehow, and I advocate the exact reverse. The exact reverse. A person marries, and we all hope to live long lives, happy, healthy lives with us. Spouses until the end, okay? But sometimes Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have that plan. And if an individual is widowed, male or female, at an age where marriage is still appropriate, we saw the Gemara ourselves. You don't even need a preach to you. We saw the Gemara. Lo tov ayos posuk. Lo tov ayos adam levado. But the Gemara comments on that this one's required as what we call it an isha she'ena bas banin, even if that's. That's an absolute requirement. In a certain sense, it's more serious. It's one of the questions of the Bechina, I don't give it away. In some sense, more serious than even the idea of having a bas banim because of the chet involved. That's the mitzvah you're talking about. But even beyond that, lo tov doesn't just mean because of chet. It means a person shouldn't be alone. So this person who's living her whole life attached to someone who passed away 40 years ago because you want to be a shrine, it's in my mind, it's not a proper Torah attitude. Even though I can find you certain sources, maybe one day I'll show you. But I have to, the correct attitude is no. You have to remarry. Again, when possible. It's hard to find a proper partner, so you may know the first time around. So maybe the second time, it's maybe even harder given the particular circumstances of life, etc. But in principle, a person is supposed to be married. You know, that's the natural state of life which a person should try to find himself or herself in whenever possible. That's why, Ein Shomin Lo, we don't listen to her. So writes the Shulchan Aruch, we don't listen to her. She wants to remain a quote-unquote aguna. Why? Is this a ben aron lamakom or ben aron lachaveira? The Taz says it's straight ben aron lachaveira. Hatam the yochaloma lo yitnu liisha kozman sha'at agida bi. No one's going to want to marry me as long as I'm still connected to you. What if he's married? Look at this line. Vafili yesh lo isha. Mikomakom lo yelo shlobayis kol zman she'eno cholitz. Somebody's his wife is afraid of a co-wife. It's amazing. You know, the question would be whether all of this would be true nowadays. That even is not possible. I don't know, but that's what it's, that's the reason given by the Taz for this halach. Fine. Kamzi Beis Shmuel makes the following comment. He says, going into the intricacies of this and that and the other thing, in certain limited circumstances, harishus biyada. Ain't a rotz alachlots, in certain cases, harishus biyada. If you obviate some of the interpersonal concerns, so harishus biyada. Not to go through with chalitza. And on the side of my Shulchan Aruch, the new one, it says, the expression is a little bit unclear, and what it really means, of course, from the Chazon Ish, quote, im shneihem misratzim shlo lachlots horishus biyodom. The Chasam Sofer is the same thing. According to his opinion, it's a matir. And if they both say no chalitza, they don't need to do a chalitza. They're good Jews. Yeah.
This mitzvah chalitza, is it a mitzvah on him or on her? And the model that the Chumash gives us is that she initiates it.
Right. Correct.
Is that a requirement?
Correct. Oh, good question also. I'll answer your question. Conceptually, the poskim say that the mitzvah is on him. That's what they say. We'll see later the source for it. Although obviously it takes two. Like even when it comes to kiddushin, when the Gemara has an expression mitzvah ba yosemi b'shlucha kiddushin atem aleph, the Ran says she may not have a mitzvah to get married, but he can't get married without her. So at least as an, they call it an enabler. Interesting. You know, one of the words that's also thrown out here. That's only half the expression. But anyway, at least it's an enabler. So there's that level of mitzvah, which is on a practical level very, very important. Yes, sir.
So if we're saying that it's a matir, why do they both need to agree to it? I mean, shouldn't it just be her because it's a matir for her?
Well, then once she agrees, once she wants it, then he doesn't. We can even, we'll see later in the parak, maybe even force him. Because that's a classic Laguna case.
Right, but shouldn't it just be dependent on her? Meaning if she wants it or doesn't want it, that's how we should decide because it's a matir for her. So why, I mean, it sounded like what you said was that they both need to agree.
And if they both agree not to be chalitza, then it's okay. If either one wants it, it has to happen. For her, for sure, he has to do it because she's an aguna. And if he wants it and she doesn't, then the stakes are not so high, whatever he's worried about, but also should be done. That's what the Shulchan Aruch was telling us. Yes, sir?
I mean, but nowadays, since we don't really view Yibum as an option, can you still say that the mitzvah is on him? Maybe it shifts to her now because of that. Because
that's an interesting possibility. But again, on a simple level, we can shift certain things, but if in fact there's a mitzvah to say from perspective of kima mitzvah, which is given to the husband to do it, presumably that would remain in full force and effect, even though it's limited to chalitza nowadays, we're no longer a part of the Yibam. Continues the Beis Shmuel. Va'ayin b'zohar parshas chukas mashma de mitzvah davka v'chalitza. Whoa. You know, I don't quote too many Zohars. It's not in not that I don't usually quote it every day, but since the Beis Shmuel calls the Zohar, we have to at least respond and relate to what it says in the Zohar. Okay? Now, he quotes over here a Chacham Tzvi on the side. Ma sha'anu kofen al chalitza mishum lasa di da. Because we don't want it to become an aguna. But if she doesn't care, and he doesn't care, we don't care. So he quotes over here from the Tshuvas Chacham Tzvi. So the question becomes, is the Chacham Tzvi correct? Or perhaps the Beis Shmuel is correct? That's a very, very serious question. So, again, without going into Zohar, because I really don't understand the Zohar, as you can well imagine, beyond my understanding. But nonetheless, the issue, which is brought up over here in the Shulchan Aruch, is a real issue. And the Pesachei Tshuva quotes the Beis Shmuel, quotes the Zohar, quotes the Chacham Tzvi, which I just spoke to you about, and the Chasam Sofer quotes that as well. And the Chasam Sofer goes as far as to say that even the Zohar didn't say it's a mitzvah, shei mitzvahs aseh, like tefillin, like kiddush, like birchas hamazon. No, even the Zohar didn't mean that. So what did the Zohar mean? You know, the Zohar is dealing obviously in mysticism. Says the Chasam Sofer, kim shusgula lenishmas hameis. Can you imagine that? A sgula for nishmas. Some of the mace is not at peace until it's either yibam chalitza of his almana. For who ke'ein gemilas chesed im hameisim u'kama amiras kaddish. Same as kaddish is a gemilas chesed to the deceased, and presumably is an important step in helping the neshama of the deceased in the world above, as the famous Chazal say, quoted by the Beis Yosef in Shinai and Vav Yoredeya. It was a person who was all blackened, and the Kiva had a dream, a whole story, say Kaddish, and the Kaddish somehow elevated the person to a higher sphere in Olam HaSalyonim, which again, which we don't really fully understand, probably not even partially understand too much. But he says this over here, you cannot force the woman to do something for her late husband's neshama. He says, and the Chasam Sofer puts it in vague, how do I say it, legalistic terms. V'ein locho for isha filo likvuroso. Wow. A man is responsible to bury his wife, but a woman from a purely technical perspective is not required by strict halacha to be, even to bury her husband. Mikol shkein, ligmol chesed hazeh imhulo litorach. It's a pain in the neck for her. Travel somewhere. Or we may have busha. She's embarrassed. Oh, shum tam. And the Chasam Sofer, when a woman came to him, he said to her, yes, you're not required against your will, Chas v'shalom. It's tova labala. Kibo adlokas shemen zayis v'yosem, he said. Im tirtza leheti vimo, tasa. V'chein osasa, v'shomo lekol. It's like a yortzeit candle. My hunch is that my aunt does light a yahrzeit candle for her late husband, notwithstanding the fact that she refused to go through the chalitza process. For reasons which I understand, busha, tircha, the case may be. But this is the equation which is found over here in the Pesachei Tshuva, Simen Kuf Samachay, Endless of Cotton Zion. Karabosai, this is in effect my psicha. This is the introduction to this very important perek, entitled, as we see here, Mitzvah Chalitza. Maybe pop a somewhat of a misnomer, which is a Matir Chalitza, but it's a Mitzvah Chalitza in a broader sense. Although, as we shall see, The mere fact, Rav Elsai, that the chalitza has various aspects to it, and by Torah law, this is a very important yourself, and by Torah law, some of them are li'ikuva, sine qua non, ma'akev, indispensable, and some are not indispensable, leads us to a conclusion that this is a kind of a mitzvah which is done ideally in a particular way, and it can also have been done in a less than ideal sense. You don't find this with respect to strict matirim. You don't find anywhere, to my knowledge, that a get on a level of Doraisa requires such and such, and but in the event, it's enough to have such and such. Just not to my, the Rabbanim have that in a minute, all the time. But on the Pashta, on a level of Doraisa, the only time you find the Chatchilas and B'di'evet is only in mitzvahs. You have it most primarily by Kotchim. Those who daven every day, and say the Siddur, you know, you have to have Shtei Matonah, Shein Arba, you have to have, and very often, Im Lo Nasa Noikev, those who learn the Mishnayas, but we lost a week, what kind of business is this? No. You need Shina La'akev, it's a mitzvah to do it, a mitzvah Doraisa, but it's not Ma'akev. When it comes to matirim, you don't have that. The fact that you have it when it comes to... Let's just review it. What's the question, please? Yeah.
By Gittel, we find that it's because of the cup. It's a Yadav Meinol Venim, or Yishol Venim, Nei
Bozman. Also, all Madrabon. A level of the Raisa, we find no distinction, to my knowledge whatsoever, between a get, which is good in the first instance, the Chathila, and a get, which is good by the Evin. To my knowledge. Yes.
I think Rav Shaster says that in his first one of his farm. He makes that feel with Bach all the time.
Oh. So we'll have to get out with Eretz Tzvi?
Ginas Egos.
Okay, we'll have to get the, look in the base manager, bring it up, the Ginas Egos. I'm sorry I didn't see it, okay? But I'm sure he quoted the source. Without even blinking, I can guarantee if he's talking about his calling, his Torah Ketosis in Masechta Nida. Ketosis talks about this concept. You can find it and read it in the small print. Tosis over here. Oh, I mean, Tosis is in Samach Vavamid Beis. Very important principle, Rav Elsai. Very, very, very important principle. Turn to our Gemara Kuf Dalet Amid Beis. Please turn. I know we're going out of order, but whenever you do a psichle, by definition, you're going out of order. Kuf Dalet Amid Beis. Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. Okay. The Gemara discusses whether Kriya is Ma'akevis. You know, the Chalitza process has three fundamental sections to it. There are the spoken parts, which are found Psukim and Chumash. Then there is the real chalitza, which is the woman pulls the shoe. That's what chalitza means. Pulls the shoe off his foot. And then, the least politically correct part of the chalitza process is the yorka b'fonav. Right? What do they call it? Expectorate? Is that the right word to use? If you don't know what it means, it's even better. Okay? What's ma'akev, Rabbi Osai? Only the chalitza. If they did not do a kriya, did not do a rakika, the chalitza is still valid. The Gemara is over here, Rav Elsai. Gemara says, Ilei v'ilemes halfway down, Kudam Beis, Shecholtzu chalitzosan psula. As if they have no ability to speak. Okay? Why? Call a royal lebila and bila makevisbo. Choshen royal lebila, bila makevisbo. What does that mean? If you're able to speak and you didn't speak, it's okay, it's kosher. If you're unable to speak, it's not kosher. Okay? This is a citation. So Tosus here, Mesech Denida, Samech Vavam and Beis, on that same Dibra Masel, call Sharoa lebila and bila makevisbo. Tosus makes the following comment. He says, they're talking about a case of tvila, a woman being told to become permissible to her husband. Why do you require b'yismayim lechatchila b'beis hastarim kemo bila? Bila means mixing, belila. The pesukim we're reading now, mamash, vayikra tzav, tov zman mincha belula b'shem v'niska, right? You have to have the ability on both sides. The ratio of oil to flour must be such there's an ability to do a proper mixing. But if it's not enough, it would be no good. Even though the mixing itself is not menakev, but nonetheless, the chatchila should require belula. And kriya bechalitza uve bikurim. When it comes to chalitza uve bikurim, the chatchila ideally you should read the parsha, say the psukim, v'yei shloma. The ain svara gabe tvila. Why? Shelo hikpida Torah ela sheitara adam. It's a matir. V'yein loma de lechatchila liboy. The kevin de b'diyevet tor lechatchila nami lo boy. V'tala lo tvila. Whenever something is a matir, we never find on the level of the rice of lechatchila b'diyevet. Avol bilo mikro bikurim v'chalitza mitzvos ninu. Hilkoch lechatchila liyaveit. What? What's a mitzvah? The question is, how do we reconcile this Tosfos, what we saw just now in Simen Kuf Samech Hei? We don't care, do it, don't do it, we don't care. One way is to say, we do care, we just can't compel you. We just can't compel you. Because it is a mitzvah, you get mitzvah points, we just can't compel you to do it. Because it's, we might call it a mitzvah kiyumis. If you do it, you get mitzvah points. But it's not a chiyu. That'd be one way of reconciling these sources. But again, this is just a psicha. We're just beginning. But this is, I wanted to bring this to your attention. So if you look up that piece, I'm guaranteed, I'm going to quote the Tosfos here in Satanida, Samach Vav Amud Beis, it's the first wide line. It's a big Tosfos. You can just see it. First wide line. Everyone with me so far? These are all very fundamental issues in our psicha. Okay.
What was your answer?
No, so I'm saying maybe it just means that a kima mitzvah there is, but it's no chiyuv. Those who say there's no kiyum whatsoever have to answer this Tosfos. Tosfos is presumably la halacha. Who argues in this Tosfos? Gosh, it's hard to argue. We'll see. Is anyone arguing in this Tosfos? We'll have to look. Maybe someone does argue in the Tosfos. I don't know. Okay, Rabbi Al-Sayyam, are with me so far? This is, now I go to the, what we're supposed to do today. As you saw in the Ma'amar Kamos, the first topic that we're going to undertake in this parak is Bezen Shel Chalitza. Bezen Shel Chalitza. What is the role, what is the composition of the Bezen Shel Chalitza? So, the mission itself, to go back to the first line again, Mitzvah Chalitza B'Shloshes Dayonim V'Afilu Shloshen Hedyotos. What does it mean, Hedyotos? It's Rashi. She'enon min Sanhedre Iran U'V'Gemara Porach Mai Dayonim. This is the Rashi as we have it. Okay? So let's now analyze what this really means. Says the Gemara. Umeyachad afilu shlosha hedyotos dayonin lomali. Oops. Mitzvah chalitza b'shlosha. Rabbi, you have learned Sanhedrin. The base, this is b'shlosha, this is b'shlosha, this is b'shlosha, this is b'shlosha, why dayonin? We don't like to waste ink. Kamash Malon, Tibinon, Vishlosha, Sheyodim, Lahakros, Kiain, Dayon. Rashi, Lahakros, Dayovam, Lochafatsi, Lakhta, Mein Yovami, Lahokim, Vichule, Kochayostish, Vichule, Vichulan, Vulashana Kodesh. You're supposed to, there are three statements, right? The first by the woman, right? The second, oh, it's a little out of order over here if you're looking Rashi as I see it, whatever it may be. We should look at the best thing to do is to look in the Chumash. The Chumash tells you, if you don't have a Chumash in front of you, but you do have here a few Pesukim in the Parsha. Okay, you have Pesuk, the first Torah Hashalom is Pesuk Zayin. V'lo yachbo to ish lakachas es yivimto. The first statement. Me'ein yavami lohakim shem the Israel lo avayavmi. This is the woman's statement. Next is Ches. What does he say? Lochafatzi lekapta. It's true. It's true. She's not telling a lie. I don't want to marry her. What happens? The nixri of imto a love lady askenem. It's right here. It's in the front. Look at her with me. What does she do? V'chol tzonalo me'al raglo. She takes the shoe off his foot. The yorka b'fanav. Yes. The ons of yamra. Kocha yosel ish. Ashalo yivne es beis ochiv. Okay, and that's what she says. All right, probably somewhere in one of the subsequent. That will be there's one more pasuk for the parasha.
Amit Beis
has it already, right? Yes, pasuk good. Dalit, thank you. V'nikra shmo b'Yisrael Beis Chalutz Hanoah. Okay, this is the final pasuk in the parasha. Well, then we're missing is the beginning, which talks about the Yibam, which we're not going into right now. So everything is here in front of us. Okay? The Dayanim are supposed to be proficient in the Hebrew language so they can be able to read for the man and woman their scripted roles. You know? There's an interesting challenge post, which we'll get to. What happens if the man and woman are completely fluent in the Hebrew language, they don't need any prompting. Must the Dayanim prompt them anyway? Or just, you know, okay, stay on your own. Doesn't say Beferish in the Gemara. They don't have to be capable of doing it. You get an impression they have to be capable of doing it even if the particular Yavam and Yavama are proficient in Hebrew independently. But must they in actuality read before them? Doesn't say anything about Beferish. We'll see some. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, excuse me, Tanina Laha de Tana Rabbanim. Mitzvah Chalitza B'Shlosha. Sheyodin Lahakros Ke'ein Dayanim. That's the right. The Braisa says exactly what the Gemara said. The Mishnah said Shlosha Dayanim. And the Gemara explained the meaning that to be Yodin Lahakros Ke'ein Dayanim. That's enough from the Braisa. The Braisa said so. The Tosef, the Perikid Beis. So far, so good, Rabbi Osai? Yes.
I was also wondering about, so when we say that the Dayanim needs to be proficient in reading, what if they just know the Pesukim? Meaning, let's say they don't know how to read the Pesukim, but they have heard the Pesukim, they know the Pesukim.
I think that would suffice. When I say read, I don't think you have to read from a text, necessarily. Pashas, they memorized. They are illiterate. Can you imagine that? An illiterate Dayan. Just think about it for a second. He bought his way into a position. An illiterate Dayan. Okay? But he memorized the Gutta Cup. He memorized these psukim. He knows it by heart. On a simple level, that should suffice. Okay? Although it's an open question, on a simple level, it should suffice. Able to hakos? Rabbi Yudo Me Bechamisha. Here's where everything starts to spin. Wow. Five Dayanim. Can you imagine this? Five Dayanim. Who ever heard of five Dayanim? You know the number is three. You all know that. Who ever heard of five? By time of the Tanakama, the Tanya, Zekanim. What's a Kanim? The Olsa, Yevimto Hashara, Ela Zekanim. That's Shnayim. The Ain based in Shokol, a very important principle, can even numbered Bezdin. Mosifin Alein Orechod, Harekan Shlosha. He had one more, so from two it goes to three. Have all seven with me so far? From two, it goes to three. What's wrong with Bez and Shokol? Why can't it be two? Or both, you tell me. What's wrong with... Huh?
Tiebreaker.
He's a tiebreaker. Very good.
Not in this case.
Oh. The question becomes, if there are judges who are deciding Reuben and Shimon having a fight about money, and who's right, so, you know, it can be very serious and complex, and they're going to need a tiebreaker. When it comes to Chalitza, there seems to be nothing adversarial. Seems to be nothing controversial. So what kind of tiebreaker? Says Tosfos. V'ed bez n'shokol mosif aleihem od echot. Hoga bechalitza osi shapir. V'ed bez n'shokol mosif aleihem od echot. You know why? To'ika kama plukti b'masnisin. There are a number of disputes in the Mishnayos. We have to know, how do we machriya? You need a tiebreaker to pask in the machloksin in the Mishnayos. Isn't that interesting? So even if something which seems to be non-adversarial between the man and the woman, but it's somewhat adversarial between the Tanaim and the Mishnayos. We need a Bezin that makes a decision who's right. And Rav Osai, notwithstanding the Gedolei HaDor and the Poskim of generations, it's those three people who have to make this decision. Obviously, it would be wise to see what says in Shulchan Aruch. But in principle, they make the decision. Yes?
So with the fact that we accept Hediotim kind of...
Good question. If you think that there can be no controversial points when it comes to a chalitza, I will tell you that the last chalitza that I was attending, which was Erev Rosh Hashanah, I think I've told you about that, was a sort of emergency chalitza. There was a very controversial point. With left and right, we'll get to that when we get to the sugya. But don't let it never be said that all chalitzas are just, you know, just go right through them without any point of controversy. I really mean it. So, but you asked, what guy had you? Good question. Your question is better than any answer I can give you right now. Let's go further. Okay? So therefore, you have three. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Rabbi Yehuda says, V'korolo zikneiro. So it says ziknei in Pasuk Ches. In Pasuk Zayin it says zikeinim. Ziknei shnayim, zikeinim shnayim. So that's four. Ein bez nishokol, mosifin aleyen orechon. Harekan hey. So you get up to five. Pshing. Very nice. Drush psukim. Okay. So before we go any further, I feel it's important to at least give a partial answer to your question. What do you mean? You can have X number of people, you can't be shocked. If the people are Hedyotas, they're not big Talmidei Chachamim, so then, that's your question. How do you answer that question? So who saw the Rambam Kovas? Can we get a bit of an answer? Anybody? Bit of an answer? A little bit?
I think I have.
What's the answer?
I mean, what I was thinking was that, well, why can't we just say that it's when they see it that they pass on whether it's good or not, right? So there could be a machlokas about whether what was done was good, right? So that they can pass on. You're almost
saying what I want you to say, but you're not quite saying it. To be honest, you're not quite saying what I want you to say, what I thought you were about to say. So let me refer you to the Tosus Arush that I asked you to see. Most of you have that in the back of your Gemara. So see what it says. Here we are. Page Pevov. Tosus himself says it in a more terse fashion. But I think the Tosus Harush is a little bit better. Let's first see it in Tosus proper. Keep one hand here, and one hand back in Tosus proper. The first Tosus in the parak. Mitzvah chalitza hakamash malon debina shilosh yodon lahakos kein dayonim. Says Tosus. Avo bishar dvorim. Ain sir, shiu bekiin behem. And how does this happen? What do they do? Bechilo also betov. If there's a question comes up, yuchlu lishoel abkiin. They'll ask the experts. You know the people on site to be the experts. If there's something unusual, they will ask the experts if what they did was proper or not proper. Avol kriya im lo yodu lahakros. Lo yuchlu lishol abikim im hikri yofim. That's what Tosus says. Yes?
So it's a problem. So they need three because if they argue about what happened.
Okay.
Then, so if one guy says one thing happened, two other guys say that something else happened, right? That was the way that they describe it.
The hope is that everyone at least remembers what happened. They won't know what the halacha is. So they'll be able to consult with the big rabbanim. The obvious question we need to rush for is, the same logic can be applied to the reading. Right? They read a certain way. They'll ask the experts, they read a certain way, is it valid or invalid? Who knows? Here's where the rush adds one line to Tosus. Tosus the rush. Take it from the top. The first, Rabbi Osai, the first. The Be'inan, Gimel, Sheyodim, Lahakos, Kedayonim. Uvishar Hadvarim, Ein Tzorach, Sheyubikin. Kiyim Lo Osu Betov, Shar Hamasim, Yechol Nishar, Labikin. Avala Kriya, Amen in Bekiyim. Ein Yechol Nishar. Why? Tells you why. Amazing. She'enon Zechurim, Heich Koru. Just imagine, Rabosai, you're there and someone's reading Chinese. And you're going to tell the expert the next day, or next hour, they said such and such and such and such. Come again. You'll never be able to get it perfect, what exactly they said, what syllable. You just can't. You don't know the language. You can't do it. That's why you can't rely upon an accurate transmission of what exactly was said. And therefore, you require the Dayanim themselves be the experts as far as the enunciation of the Kriya in its proper form.
They don't know where the Shaila is. That's what bothers me.
What bothers me about the Tosfos is exactly Yaakov's question. You say any Shaila they have, they'll ask the Bekiyim. The sad fact is, I repeat, the sad fact is that people who aren't properly trained, they won't even know what a shayl is. And something very serious can happen, should affect the validity of the kachlitzim b'di'evet, and they never realize what's the question. That bothers me tremendously. I don't have a good answer, but that bothers me. It's a very serious question. Yes?
So that's the chiddush, that the people also have to be smart enough to be able to recognize a shayl.
So that's what Dov is suggesting, that when the Gemara says it's enough to have three adyotos, you are not Bekiyim, anything but Kriya, they need one more attribute. They have to be to know enough to know what's a Shaila. That requires a measure of Bekiyim too. Yes. What do you want to suggest? To know enough to ask a Shaila. You know, in principle, that should be not so difficult. In principle. But you begin to wonder sometimes, you see what goes on in the real world. People are just so clueless, they don't understand what a shayla is, which is sad. They just don't know. They don't know what a shayla is. It's sad, but it's a reality. It is a reality. Now, the rush in the next piece also adds one line which Tosfos himself doesn't have, where he says, they bez and shuckle. Bezin boy, bezin note, the tiebreaker what you call it, Shem Yiyu Chalukin, if there'll be a dispute, Yel Chalachar Arov, Vechem Chalitza, Ika Plukta Tuva. In monetary matters, of course, if to follow the majority, this is the dispute. And with respect to Chalitza, there are many disputes. And you need this bezin to decide who was right. Wasn't it already decided by the Shulchan Aruch? Not necessarily. People go against the Shulchan Aruch here and there. These three, to make the final call, it's their call as to what is in kosher, what is not kosher. Very, very important to us. Okay, Rabbi Osai, so we've begun an analysis of this issue. Just begun. Let's take it a little bit further. Says the Gemara. Talking about very, very slowly, Rabbi Osai. Very slowly. Says the Gemara, the Tana Kama, hi zikne my ovidle. Which was the word zikne? He bore le le rabuya filu shlosha ad yotos. Three ad yotos is enough. For Rabbi Yehuda ad yotos we know le. Nafkale mi le eine. The mamar le eine prat le sumin. Umid itzrich le'enei prat l'sumen, so those with limutei sumen, they can't see. Shmamina, da'afilu adyotos. For the fact that you need a puzzle to exclude those who cannot see, indicates it's enough to have adyotos. How do you know? Disakadaitach, Sanhedrin be'inon. If you require Sanhedrin, lomeli limutei sumen. What do you need this drasha, Rabbi Osai, of le'enei to exclude sumen? No! Mid the Tani Rabbi Yosef Nafko, the Tani Rabbi Yosef, Kshen Shabez and Menukim Betzedek, Kach Bez and Menukim Mikol Mum. Pasuk says, Kuloch Yofar Ayasi. That's what they talk about in Sanhedrin. Shenemar, Kulach Yofar Ayasi Vumein Bach. Talking about Sanhedrin. Okay. So therefore, Rabbah, so what comes out? It's one of those sugars you have to keep track, right? V'idach, you have a few friends of Shas, you know? I think you have to have a chart. Who says exactly what and which way you have to... you do the chart? Good, so we'll call on you to show us the chart. You need a chart here, what everyone does with every person. Okay? It's Chazir again. Rabbi Yehuda has an Odiotos. He says, from Le'enei Prat Nesumim, indicating that you don't need Smuchim because Sanhedrin, they have to be Menuchim Mikom. So this is who's speaking until now. Rabbi Yehuda. Turn the page. The Edach, the first line means Tanakam. Am I correct? I need to make a mistake here. I think the first Edach, the first Edach on the first, end of the first line is Tanakam. Hahu le'enem ayavid le, hu lechadarava hu di asa. Jamarava, srichi dayani le merze roko de konofik mi puma di avam and the psiv le'ene askeinim viyoga. You have to see when the woman. The roke leaves the woman's mouth. They have to see it. And Rebos is one of the harder parts of the chalitza. I must tell you, if you get down a chalitza, it's not always easy to spot it. You know, it depends upon the background. You have to make sure there's a certain colored background. If it's a white background, if it comes out, you just miss it. And often, did you see it? We have to see it. There's no joke. Okay, this is Tanakam. The Edach, Rabbi Yehuda, Nami mi bor lechadarov. He needs a referral. Enochanami. No. So therefore, the A is off the charts. Vela had Yotos minole. We're back to square one. How does he know had Yotos? Minole. After me be Yisrael. Yisrael called him. Be Yisrael, Rabosai. Okay. Shame be Yisrael. What's that going on? Rashi, l'ahachim l'ahachim shame be Yisrael. What does it do with us? We're talking about a bezin. So be Yisrael has an additional level of meaning. We know what the Pashup Shah means. L'ahachim l'ahachim shame be Yisrael just means that he should have a Jewish child. And therefore, have a Jewish name will continue through his children. That's Pshuta Shemikra. But the Gemara is dashing be Yisrael in front of a Bezin Shal Yisrael. This is not the Pshuta Shemikra. That's how I read this Gemara. Okay. Rabosai. The Edach. Again. I can keep losing it over here. The first, the Edach. This is Rabbi Yehuda. Now, the Edach before the Bach Aleph is again Tanakama, correct? If I make a mistake, please correct. Tanakama Vidach, Hi, be Israel, my Ovidle, me Borle, the Chedatani Rab Shmuel, Rab Yudah, be Israel, be Bezin Shal Yisrael, be Bezin Shal Gerim, nothing to do with Hedjot, Gerim is excluded, and not Yisrael, Mama, who weren't born Yisrael. Vidach, Rab Yudah, be Israel, Achrino Ksiv. How many times is the word be Yisrael found? Twice. L'hokim l'yachav shem be Yisrael. And v'nikra shmo be Yisrael. In Pesach Zayin and Pesach Yud, respectively. V'idach. This is now what? This is now Tanakama? It's almost guesswork now. V'yibor l'lechit etanya. Om Rabbi Yudah. Pamacha sayyidi yoshin l'fnei Rabbi Tarfon. Ubo yivama lachlotz. The Omar Lanu Anu Kulchem Chalutzanal. Everyone is supposed to add the words at the end. Chalutzanal. We do it actually three times. Chalutzanal. Get to that where that comes from perhaps later. This is a requirement. All those around are supposed to say this phrase. And that's what's derived. When the cross road be Yisrael. Based on Lutzanah, the entire Bezdin must say those words. We even say it three times. Everyone says it, the whole crowd says it. Okay. Be'idach, mi v'nikra nafka, v'nikra shvo v'yisro, Beis Chazan, you don't need Yisrael. V'nik would be enough. Elo me'ato v'koru shnayim v'dibru shnayim. Right, v'koru lo zik de'iru v'dibru lo v'lofaz l'kachto. Says the Gemara, Hachinam le Rabbi Yehuda, Harei kan tisha. It's a benign. Rabban Harei kan shiva. No. Chomi bar le lechit etanya. V'kar olo v'lo shlucha. V'dibre olo v'la meshim v'sino etzo genes lo. We saw the Gemara before. Shiv hoya hu yela v'izkeno who's going to be yalda. Or v'lo malach etzo yalda. Malach etzo zkeno. Klach etzo shikamos chanei. Shaltach etzo kodos meisevo. Period. So the Gemara has gone through the entirety of all the v'idach, and we have a chart which you can see tomorrow if you wish. Probably some of this, probably look at the article, probably the chart. But they usually do these charts very well. It's a half cup to all to one. Omar Rava, Omar Rav Nachman, Halacha Chalitza B'Shlosha, Paul V'Sosl Matanak Avaseh. Tosfos. Avishal Yochid V'Ram, Halacha Rabim, and Livsel Kavaseh. You know why? The Mistaber Tam of the Yochid. Do you believe that? The Tam of the Yochid is Mistaber. Interesting. Well, since we introduce Svaros in our Achorah between Tanoi, but that's what it says in Tosfos. Fine. It's now, what's me and me? What me and me? Literally, refusal. Who's refusing whom? A ketana was married off by her what? Father died. What's the father? That's it. She's married like a bill. A mother of brothers. That's a rabbinical marriage which you could just walk out of. Well, me and you refuse. Hamiyun v'achlitza b'shlosha. Yeah. Says Rashi, Hachlitza v'amiyun v'shlosha ustamahi b'perakam in the Sanhedrin. The first mission of Beis Sanhedrin. V'chitem achinami required three for miyun via Tanya, Rabbi Osai. Also, it's later on, it's also in Sanhedrin. Miyun beishami omen bebezin mumchin beisil omen bebezin velo bebezin. Eile velemoli shetzorach shlosha. V'yotzi v'yuda revelazim v'yosi machshirin b'shnayim. V'yom rabbi yosi rabbi nyumi yom rabbi achan loch osa wazug. It's enough to have two aloch ala maisa by miyun. Says the Gemara. Hosam chat, like also a list. It's one stamp, two stamps, three stamps. It's a very unusual conversation. How many stamps you need? Push you over the top. I'm not going to read that in great detail. So, at first glance, Rabbi says, "Machlokas atanoim, whether you require three or five, on a simple level, we pass in three." Says the Gemara, Rabbi Osai, I'm skipping some of those stomachs over there. Omar Rabbi, "Srichi dayoni lemikba duchta." The Dayanim are required to set aside a place. Rashi, L'shem Kach, for the sake of Chalitza. Where does this come from? D'chsev, Y'olsi Avimto Hashara El Azkenim. I mean Hashara El Azkenim. Says Rashi, Mokom Mezumon L'kach Mashma. To that designated place. That had never been designated before they walked in to do the Chalitza ceremony. We'll see the details later on. Rav Papa V'Rav Huna V'Rav Yeshua Avdi Uvda V'Chamisha. Okay. Question. Didn't he back out? Other bay? Answer the Gemara. Lefarsume milsa. The most important phrase of the sukkah is right here. Lefarsume milsa. Zogt Rashi. Techalutzehi velolintze velokoin. Inami the leisu inshi velikvitzu Allah. She's not long going to tie down to her brother-in-law. Okay? For two reasons are given over here. She should marry a Kohen, and she should find marriage partners. People should realize she's no longer tied to her brother-in-law. Ask me a question, Rabbi Osai. What other Jewish ceremony leads to an isa l'kohen and makes a woman eligible for marriage. A get. No, you fire people by a get. Very good answer.
Maybe
it
goes
Kalisa
Rabbanan.
Kalisa
Rabbanan.
Ah, the Easter to a Kohen, that's so serious. Very good. Two good answers. He's the lowest stakes. Your stakes, there's no document. We'll see later. It's something called a Shtar Chalitza.
But the place is good either way. If they happen to not register,
it's
not really
interesting. Right. Correct. Very good. So let's continue a little bit. Rav Ashi Iklo Lebei Rav Kahana. Omalei Solik Mar Legabon Lemlui Bei Chamisha. What does that mean? Different gear souls. That's our gear soul. If you look in the Osei that was missing many gears, you'll see how it's extraordinarily relevant. Called the Agir, said, come on, we need you for a fifth man. You heard about it? You ever called for a tenth man? Come on, everyone's going for a tenth. You ever called for a fifth man? Never. Fifth man. Yeah. Says the Gemara further. Omrav Kanava Kimna Kameh the Rav Yehuda Amali Ta Sak Lizirza Dekani It's Tarufi Bechamisha. Rashi. This is the Kani. Chavila Shalkonim. Vahol Chulei Shem Shom. L'shem Chalitza Zu. Get an impression. You need people to establish the place in advance of the Chalitza. Amalei they said to him. Lomali Chamisha. Amalehu. Ki Hechid Lefarsem Milsa. Again. The importance of this, a five is to make mefarsem milsa. Five people will make it more public than a mere three. Wow. Okay. So the Gemara has the following amazing story. Yes?
That is a requirement. A requirement we already had a basis that it's three.
Correct.
They had five. That's propaganda.
Okay. Propaganda here is in the most positive sense of the term.
Yeah.
It's been a very dirty connotation, propaganda. But here, which well deserved. But here, it's in the best possible sense to publicize the fact that Chalitza took place. We'll see soon. What is the nature of a Bez Mishal Chamisha? That's a very tricky question. And we see the next Gemara is going to be the opening to tomorrow's Shir, which we'll discuss this in some detail. The Gemara has its faults. Tells a story. Says the Gemara, Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, Havikoi Kamei de Rav Yehuda, Omolei Sak Tol Lezirza, Dekani, the Seruvah Bechamisha, Lefrasuri Mils. Come on, go up there to join the group. Five. Omolei Tanina, Be Yisrael, be Bezin Yisrael, lo Bezin Shal Gerim, v'ano Gerano. From the simple level, he's saying, I can't help you. Rashi, v'ano Gerano, who v'orav nizgayru, hilkach pasil no l'chalitza. I'm a possible guy when it comes to chalitza. Wow. Again, because I only have a minute to finish, I'm skipping the intervening Gemara. It's going to Kuv Beis on an Aleph. I'm not going to the Ger Dons Chaver Dratosh. We spoke about it a long time ago. And then we learned the fourth Perek. Just to end off, where it says something amazing, where the Gemara says, we'll have to discuss the details tomorrow. Bimhoisa imo imi Yisrael, donafilu Yisrael. In other words, he's not a Ger. His mother was a Gioris, he may still be a dayan, but ulein chalitza ad sheoviv veimo mi Yisrael shenemar v'nikrosh mo bi Yisrael. Says Rashi, mashma she Yisrael mikol tzadim. On a simple level, from Rashi, to be a ger on chalitza, you have to have your father Jewish and your mother Jewish. Something which is not found anywhere else but pshuta. Says Tosis, doesn't quite mean that. In chalitza, she'ovim Yisrael, doesn't mean that they're both be born Jews. No. Pish imo lo sagi ad she'e gam ovim Yisrael. Abel ovim l'stachud sagi. Which means, Rabbi Osai, if the father is a born Jew and the mother's a Gioris, that suffices. Do I feel it in any chuskahuna? Sagi be ovim Yisrael and the mother is a Gioris. Keep this in mind. This is a whole different series of pshat. Yes, it's
a it's using the same lashon as by Bris Milah, right? When you call the child the name, right?
Yikore Shmo B'Yisrael.
So I'm wondering if it has anything to do with kind of like with that, they just be born.
Obviously, when I'm not sure. I can look this up too. Who formulated the tefillah we said? Kaim es hayelad hazel avim v'yikor shmo v'yisrael. It's not just, I don't think so. So whoever formulated it, I think it's post-Talmudic, was obviously an expert in Tanakh and all the previous source. And in order to be biblical, he borrowed the phrase that we have in the Chumash, v'yikor shmo v'yisrael, to say, v'yikor shmo v'yisrael. When we name a girl, v'yikor shmo v'yisrael. We are equally. Obviously, it's a beautiful, beautiful phrase. And for us, we know what it means. You'll be called this way in Yisrael. Right? He may be called by the Goyim Jim. He may have another name, which he uses in his work with the workplace. Many parents to this day give their children non-Jewish names, and I'm not saying it's such a terrible thing, especially if they use the non-Jewish names purely in a work context, but their friends are calling them by their Jewish names. They may have, it could be in some fields, a non-Jewish name may have a great necessity. I'm not here to criticize anybody. But be Yisrael, you're called, fill in the blank, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, etc., etc. Now, both sides, we tried to give a very basic opening shiur to Mrs. Chalitza. Hope nobody got lost. Mission tomorrow, we'll try to go into a little greater depth. See you out of the
We are by three, right? We're holding three. So far, the Gemara also.
Yeah, we'll see soon. We always have fun.